Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 Flash production.
My Two Cents on Wrestling, the only place to relive the best and the worst of professional wrestling of all time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of My Two Cents on Wrestling. I am your host, Jed Williamson, and along with me, as always, my co-host and partner, Mr. Al Miller. Al, before I go into my tirade, how are you doing?
It's been an up and down week, but not too bad. I'd say it's been about a 50-50 week.
I'll say that. I had some good stuff happen, but I had something bad happen too. And here's the thing, okay? I hate social media. I do. But, and the loss of a Facebook account is not a big deal. It's not like it affects my life at all. Here's why it pisses me off so bad. I have had that same Facebook account since everybody switched over from MySpace. I have never created a second page, a new page, or whatever, as far as I'm aware. So when somebody hacked my account, changed my password so I couldn't get into the account, and then proceeded to delete my account, that's a minimum of like 15 years of memories
right. Just
gone. And so I've been fighting, trying to get a hold of somebody, but as soon, you know, being locked out, I might have been able to recover it, but as soon as they deleted my account, there's no recovering it. It's all gone. So I have to start from scratch. So anybody that might check out the first minute or so of this show, go back to my Facebook page, send me friend requests, you know, like my Two Cents on Wrestling page, go and like my Crash Tested Wrestling page, and help me get these numbers back to where they were. I was creeping up on 400 likes at the Crash Tested page, and that's before I'd even done a show again. I had, I want to say we had 630-some likes on the My Two Cents on Wrestling page. And unfortunately, because nobody is pretty much on my page right now, the content of the show isn't going to get out to as many people as it used to. So I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating, partner, and I'm pissed off about it, but end of rant.
Well, that's what sucks. There's just too many assholes out there. Nothing better to do. That's what it boils
down
to.
Let's talk with somebody today. Who's my random victim today? Oh, here he is.
Exactly.
I'd like to know how these fuckers hack accounts, too, because I swear, nobody's guessing my fucking passwords.
No, mine neither. I made them extremely difficult. So.
Nevertheless, today, ladies and gentlemen, because we are still kind of working back towards trying to do the watch alongs, I'm not quite sure how we're going to pull it off, because I'm not even quite sure what all pay-per-views are even available right now, so I don't want to draw something out of the hat. Maybe we'll do that. We'll draw out of the hat, and if it's available on Peacock, we'll start doing it next week. I'll figure out
Sounds
how to see
good.
If I can add that to the video here. So this week we are talking WrestleMania Fallout. Post-WrestleMania Raw, post-WrestleMania SmackDown, and it's there's some good things and some bad things. And we will get into all of that today. But first I'm going to ask Al, what was your general feelings of the week after WrestleMania?
Well, I thought, actually, Monday Night Raw, I thought was excellent. It did have some good matches. It had some low points, but not that many, really. SmackDown, sort of give it another, that's another one I could call a 50-50. It sort of bored me. It didn't seem like a regular SmackDown with the intensity that they normally come out with. So.
Which is interesting that you say that, because WrestleLamia on YouTube said the exact same thing, that SmackDown has been beating Raw as far as entertainment value, but this week they just were phoning it in. As far as the shows themselves, yes, I agree with you. I didn't have an issue with any of the matches or the content so per se, but my problem is that this was not the content that we get the week after WrestleMania. The Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania is usually insane. It's off the hook. You know, people are coming back, making returns. People are making their debuts. You know, new rivalries are starting and whatnot. And it just seems like it was the same old stuff. And you're right. And for both shows, Raw and SmackDown, that kind of bored me. I mean, like I said, it was fine. I mean, I thought it would have been nice to see the Street Profits regain the tag team titles off of Ziggler and Rude on SmackDown, because at least that would have been like, hey, there was a title change. But no,
something.
They lost to Rude and Ziggler again for like the third or fourth straight time.
Right.
So it served no purpose. I called it on the Bliss angle. They're going to go with the fact that she thinks she's stronger than the Fiend now. Where that's going to lead to, ain't got a clue.
That's a tough one to call. I'm not really sure about that one either, because he's coming back both now. Obviously, the Playhouse or the Funhouse has been rebuilt. He's back as Bray Wyatt and the Fiend. So whom is she going to go with? I don't think it's going to be Randy. I really don't. I think she's going to pick someone new. I do. I honestly
think
she will pick
someone new.
That's an
interesting question, because she can't go up against the Fiend herself. So obviously she has to now get herself a minion or somebody that she has control over to go up against the Fiend. That makes sense. But who would it be? That's the big question. Maybe one of the former Retribution guys.
Who played a little part this week. You know, that sort of shocked me. Not a big part, but a small part.
Now, and folks, this is exactly why I have a problem with Dave Meltzer. Because he reported in the Wrestling Observer that the Fiend and Bliss storyline was garbage. He thinks it's no good, it sucks, and he gave the match at WrestleMania with the Fiend versus Randy Orton a negative one star. Come on, Dave. Don't you go to the movies? Don't you enjoy the supernatural? Don't you enjoy watching this cool effects and stuff that they do during those movies? It's not everything about wrestling has to be about inside the squared circle and being a five-star match.
Right. And I used to love
Kenny Omega dick-sucking jack-off.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've called him these days lately myself. because that's all he, you know, enjoys, is Kenny Omega. Yeah. He honestly, I think, would put Kenny Omega over any superstar that's ever lived, the way he writes.
Well, he has, because the Wrestling Observer's top, Pro Wrestling Illustrated's top 500, Kenny Omega keeps, well, consistently gets the top spot for best wrestler of the year. I think Jon Moxley got it last year, but still. The Young Bucks keep getting the tag team of the year.
Right.
Like, no. I won't even say that Tony Khan's bribing him for this shit, because he's been singing their praises for years.
Right. Now,
don't get me wrong, they're good talent. It's just, go ahead.
Weren't the Young Bucks offered a contract at one time by Vince, and they turned him down to stay with Tony?
I think so.
Okay.
No, not this. That's before AEW. Before AEW.
When they were still with.
I want to say while they were doing Ring of Honor and New Japan,
yeah,
and whatnot, they were offered a contract and they,
yeah,
turned it down because they were making buckets of money on their own doing their thing with the Freedom.
Right.
And because their merchandising was through the roof. Because they were doing their own merchandising, they were putting their own stuff in retail stores like Hot Topic, and they were making, you know, they're, believe me, I'm not taking nothing away from any of these guys. Kenny Omega,
right,
the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Hangman Adam Page, all of them, they're spectacular talent. They're probably great people.
Sure.
Yep. I mean, they're clearly highly intelligent guys, but I just have a problem with and anything they do on TV. Like I said, I always work it, just chalk it up as a work. I don't know if they actually feel like they're the best or not. I don't know if they go into the back and circle jerk each other saying, yeah, you're the greatest in the world. You're the greatest in the world.
Exactly.
But, you know, so whatever they do on television, I just chalk it up as a work. But that's their persona. That's what they're supposed to do. And that's what gets them over. But Dave Meltzer, he doesn't have a persona. He has a wrestling newsletter, magazine, website, whatever. And these
it's
are
been around forever.
Openly his thoughts and his opinions and his views,
right,
on what's going on in wrestling.
Pretty much his magazine, so. Or, not, you know, Leaflets,
yeah,
or whatever he still writes for. Or, so what can you do? He's got, you know, we either respect his opinion or we don't, just like people with us. If you like us, great.
No, absolutely. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Absolutely. Everybody's entitled,
right,
to their opinion. And that is the way I look at the Observer. It's literally Pro Wrestling Illustrated, the Wrestling Observer, you know, all those places. It's legitimately,
mm-hmm,
just a person's opinion. And they are entitled to that opinion. I just hate when these guys that have been doing this for so long and,
mm-hmm,
all the guys that they've put over, you know, they talk so highly about them, but then they also these people also turn around and tear down good talent just because that's their opinion.
Right.
You don't have to tear them down.
Right. No.
Talk about how they
can
better it. Talk, you know, give your opinion on how they can make it better. Dave,
right,
Meltzer, instead of sitting here saying this was a negative one-star match, he could have easily said, well, this is where I think they should take this that would make this story better. And granted, nobody from WWE is going to tune in to listen to this show and get our opinions and say, hey, that sounds like a good idea. But Dave Meltzer, on the other hand, if he said, I think this would be a better way of doing it, somebody is probably going to, you know, see it and,
mm-hmm,
possibly show Vince and say, hey, Meltzer has this idea. What do you think?
Right. So
that it's just tearing somebody down.
Right. So, yes, it's called Live and Let Live. Speak and Let Speak. Not getting into that.
Live and let live, yes. Live and let live, yes. Speak and let speak. I have a line about certain things. He hasn't crossed that line yet.
We all do. We all do, right.
Shit. And Martez, if you do listen to these playbacks, I'm telling you right now, I'm not holding back today. I'm not in the mood to censor myself, so you're going to hear a lot of probably curse words from me because I'm mentally tired right now because I lost my Facebook account on, with all the wrestling stuff going on. And it took me like 4 days to edit the post-WrestleMania shows because of the video that I had to mesh together. But
man,
it'll be different
like
this time because I what's that?
Wouldn't it be great to catch the full? But somehow you can't.
God. I'd love to. It's not like I would go find the guy and start some shit or anything. I just want to know who it is. Because I don't believe that I know anybody that's against crash tested wrestling that has the ability to do it. But it just seems a little bad timing or coincidental timing that, you know, I'm promoting the show so hard and I'm putting out these videos to promote the show.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden after 15 years, somebody decides to hack my account.
Exactly.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's move on. I want to give kudos to Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley got some, we'll just call it hate mail on Twitter from some schmuck who said she was a piece of garbage because she was dating a black guy. And Rhea Ripley came right back at him. Rhea Ripley said,
so
you know what?
This.
I know, I'm telling you. My heart was broken when I heard she was happy when she had a boyfriend. I could care less that he's black.
Yeah, right. Oh, man.
I know I ain't got a shot in the pit of Hades at getting together with Rhea Ripley, but as soon as it becomes public knowledge that the superstar that you have an infatuation with is dating somebody or married or whatever, I can get that sinking feeling like, damn, now I really don't have a chance.
Yeah, I used to get that way with Tori. Tori Wilson.
She was dating Billy Kidman practically from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. And after Kidman, she was dating another wrestler whose name it escapes my mind right now anyway, so it's no big deal.
Like I had that same sinking feeling when I found out Stacey Keibler was with George Clooney. I don't think she is anymore, but I heard about those two, I was like, George, I don't know who's luckier in that. Who was luckier in that pairing? Stacey Keibler for bagging George freaking Clooney or George Clooney for being able to wrap those legs around his billionaire face?
No kidding. No kidding. Now, George is happily married now, I guess. He's not
that was like last decade that they were together, so.
Yeah, right.
No matter.
Well, they always thought George would never get married. He'd just be the world's oldest eligible bachelor. So my wife says.
Even George Clooney probably had to come to the realization that, hey, I'm getting a little older now and I'm not doing movies like I used to, so the pussy pool's drying up a little bit. I might want to lock one down here.
This
might be one of our more entertaining episodes, Al, because I've, like I said, I don't have the strength to censor myself.
Right. That's all right. No problem with that.
Sometimes I wasn't even paying attention during SmackDown, but WrestleMania mentioned it, and then it hit me. I was like, that's right. Daniel Bryan and Edge, neither one of them were on SmackDown Friday. That piqued my curiosity of, like, why? Why?
Right.
They weren't, like, injured that we know of.
Nope.
I was very happy to – sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in that WrestleMania match, I thought they were both made to look a little foolish by Roman pinning them both at the same time.
Well, I don't know about so much about that. Like I said, after that match, it's like I understood what they were doing with Roman making a statement, but it just wasn't necessary. But again, and I'm probably going to quote WrestleMania a lot. I watch a lot of their stuff, even though I disagree with half of it, just like with the Dave Meltzer issue. There's apparently some reports floating around that they had Roman retain, especially like that, because some of his next three opponents is going to be Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and The Rock. Because those are big money matches, and they want him to hold the title till those are through.
Absolutely. That makes sense, too.
But it doesn't. Because remember what we said, okay? Brock's been gone for a year now. So he's going to come back, be thrown right in the title picture. Cena's been gone for a couple years now. He comes back, he's going to be thrown right in the title picture. The Rock, gets to do whatever the hell he wants to do. He's The Rock. So he walks in the door, he gets a title shot. We said it last week. We don't like it when people do that. If you're going to come back, you come back for 6 months to a year. Doesn't have to be forever, just 6 months to a year. Work a storyline. Build up, have some matches in between, and then once you've concluded your storyline, right up, back off into the sunset.
Now, the interesting
Cena,
thing is...
I can see Cena putting in the time to build that up.
Okay. Are we going to bring them all three back at once?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
I'm guessing that it'll probably be SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and next year's Royal Rumble, very likely.
And I want to guess, if it happens, The Rock would come during his hiatus from his show, because I hear it's doing pretty well in the ratings, Young Rock. And so I would figure he would get the shot during his time off, because pretty much Brock can come back whenever he wants. He goes back to his ranch.
Yeah, Brock and Cena, they're very flexible with their schedules. The Rock is so jam-packed with shit in his life that if he gets a break, he's going to be like, hey, Vince, I got 3 months. It's now or never.
There you go. I agree.
Any which way you slice it, though, I don't like the concept. This is one of those things where I'm like, okay, Cena and Reigns, with Reigns at the level that he's at, great idea. Brock versus Reigns, because he's got Paul Heyman and the level that Reigns has been at, great idea. The Rock and Roman, we were hoping for that for this WrestleMania, but it didn't happen.
Right.
But why does Roman have to have the title to have these matches?
That's true. And I think it would make most interesting with Brock because of Roman having Paul Heyman.
Exactly. The title is not necessary in that storyline.
And it depends how long Brock wants to hang around. He could win the title, eventually when he faces him or win it back.
technically all three of them don't need that title in the storyline, because you go back to when John Cena called out Roman Reigns in the middle of that promo and made him look like an idiot.
Right.
You remember that? It's a promo,
yes,
kid. One day you're going to have to learn to do one.
Yep.
That story right there. Brock's got Heyman, and The Rock, for God's sake, the family. The stories write themselves. The title doesn't need to be there. And this goes back to what I was talking. I talked to a lot of people about the Attitude Era, how WWE between 96 and like 99-ish, their mid-card was as strong as their main card, because you had The Rock and Stone Cold in the mid-card going for the IC title, and then you had Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Undertaker, you know, all going for the heavyweight title. So from start to finish, you had your top guys going for the main titles.
Sure.
They could have shotgunned The Rock, and they could have shotgunned Steve Austin straight into that heavyweight title picture, and it made the mid-card title useless back in the day. But back then, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
They said, we got these two guys that are white hot. Let them fight over this IC title. Make it mean something. We already have, you know, three or four top guys. We'll say four or five top guys in the main title picture to keep that title relevant. So now, why not do the same freaking thing?
And
you've got guys like Cesaro and Seth Rollins, and you got Drew, you got Bobby, you got a lot of guys that can hold those top spots. That somebody like Roman, who is white hot right now, I dare to say that Roman Reigns is the absolute top heel right now.
Right.
And so that means he doesn't absolutely need that title, not for these storylines.
And if it's, I think if it's Cena, I don't want him to break Rick's record because of the time he takes off.
Absolutely. That's another thing, yeah.
Rick wrestled straight through his career.
I don't think that freaking anybody's losing to Reigns. I think that Reigns is going to beat all three of them. They're trying to really get Reigns to that John Cena, Stone Cold level.
Rock. Well, for the
Rock,
in a few years.
I'll tell you this right now. If you look at those three guys, Brock Lesnar, The Rock, and John Cena, probably the three most over guys of the past 15 years.
Right.
Because Austin retired in 03. I think he retired 03. So that 15 years would be 06. And even though The Rock was even gone by 06, but he came back and did those special guest spots and then the three WrestleManias back-to-back. And The Rock was always over. So, yeah, those are the three guys that have been probably the most over in the last 15 years. So they put them all three up against Roman as a heel, and Roman defeats them. Their expectations is to make Roman the top guy of this decade.
Especially since we have seen Taker versus Roman, and he is the only other guy I would put in that class that you just mentioned.
Yes. Okay, yes. But unfortunately, and even Undertaker says himself, the match with Roman sucked.
Yeah, and he was the first to admit it. Sure was.
Now, when Taker got back into shape after that WrestleMania match, I'd have liked to have seen a rematch.
Yes, that would have been interesting. Because I think they both could have won about 20 minutes with the shape that Taker
had. Oh, no, absolutely.
You know.
Taker said it himself that by the time the next WrestleMania rolled around, he was all prepared. He trained his ass off for like 6 months and got into such ring shape. After his hip surgery, and he's feeling great, and they showed the footage.
Right.
He was all prepped to do a 20-minute match, and then they tell, you know, okay, you're going to go out there, you're going to hit Snake Eyes and Tombstone, John Cena, 1, 2, 3, all done in about 15 seconds. And he came back, and he was like, well, shit, I didn't do anything.
Yeah, I worked that hard to not do shit. No.
I don't think he was upset about it. I think he found it funny. that he busted his ass to get in such ring shape, expecting to have this 20-minute match with Cena, and it just freaking, you're like, nope, just going to squash him.
That's one thing most people never realized about Taker. He had a good sense of humor. He really did, or does. Speaking like he is dead.
He does.
Well, he's a dead man.
Well, he does. He does have a good sense of humor, but he's also one of those guys that you only get to see that side of him if
you're lucky.
I don't want to call him. I don't want to call it the inner circle. His inner circle, but you don't get to see
pretty
that side
it.
Of him until you've earned his respect.
Right. That's right. Otherwise, you better work your ass off in that ring. When you're going
I'm sure he probably comes off as a bit of a grumpy asshole until that point too, because he's watching. He probably to this day is still watching these rookies and these up and comers and whatnot. I'm sure that if he's ever at a show, he's still very stern. Strict or threatening like, but
no,
I'm sure he's got a stern tone when he talks to them. And
right. Well, that stern, you know, type of man is a Hall of Famer and made lots of money. And was in the business a long time.
He is going to be a Hall of Famer. He just ain't yet.
Well, yeah. I just already include him in there because I think he should be. I think they're waiting to get back to live crowds before they induct some of these guys. That way they get the ovation that they deserve.
I don't think so. I don't think the Hall of Fame matters that much to them audience-wise as the shows themselves.
Right.
I apologize if there's any... I should say I apologize for the freezing and the skipping of the video. It's been a little worse today than it was last week. But I'm still going to just push forward and do this anyway. It's fine.
Right.
It is what it is. Something happened. I can't remember what happened on AEW this week that I was actually very happy about. I'm a little pissed off. I can't remember what it was.
I watched it, too, and I just... There was a couple segments that only drew me in. And other than that, I thought it was another weak show by them. Even though I love a lot of the guys that are in there. I don't know if they're mostly script-minded or ad-libbing. It's hard to tell.
Most of theirs is ad lib. I can guarantee you at most they do bullet points.
Okay.
I can guarantee you that. I don't know who's calling the shots, if it's Cody or the Young Bucks or whatever, but somebody is telling them, all right, this is what we're going for. This is the end result. Go do it.
I
can almost guarantee you that.
I thought Chris might even be pulling some weight in there too. Jericho.
Jericho is, as he said on his interview with Stone Cold on the Broken Skull Sessions, is that he's kind of like the Undertaker of the AEW locker room. The guys are always coming up to him and asking him, for help, and he's offering his opinion, but he doesn't stick his nose into anybody else's business unless they ask. So.
Okay.
I don't think that Jericho is telling anybody to do anything.
So he's not the asshole he presumes to be in the ring, pretty much. He offers advice, pushes him forward, you know, tries to give him good things instead of cutting him down. You know, which I've always thought that about Chris. I have. I've always thought that Chris was down deep was a great guy. not just the
rest. I'm a little naive in this. I'm a little naive on this perspective because I've always felt that any of the wrestlers that have gone for, you know, 20, 30 years are all like that. Now, I'm sure they're not all like that. I've heard rumors that Hogan's a dick. I've heard rumors that Ric Flair's a dick. But okay. I don't buy it. They probably just think they're a dick because they freaking decided to approach them at the wrong freaking time. Like,
no,
they,
I
like,
think
they,
that's
like,
right.
They see him at an airport or something, and they say, oh, my God, it's Ric Flair, can I get it? And they're just, they're exhausted. They're just trying to get to their car, and maybe they were a little snippy and turned him down for an autograph or something. Oh, he's a dick.
I have a perfect example of that. I know you don't like it. At WrestleMania in Indianapolis, Ric Flair gladly signed an autograph for me. Gladly, right at the table. Said, hi, how's your, or, you know, nice to see you, how's, what's your name, and this and that. How long you been a wrestling fan? And then he signed his autograph. Hulk Hogan demanded the arena be cleared before he left his locker room.
See, now that comes off as a dick.
And Rick, I thought, was
But Ric Flair, but the situation with Ric Flair, that was the time and place to go and get your autograph. You don't freaking, you know, chase down somebody in an airport or interrupt them while they're at a restaurant or something. You want
you
to,
go.
Especially, and, you know, you see them at a gym working out, you got to fight that urge. I would have the hairs on the back of my neck standing up and it shiver down your spine because everything in my body would say, go ask them, go talk to them.
I would have
to make myself resist. So it sucks. I understand it sucks because you're that close to somebody that you look up to, that is famous, that you want to go talk to and this and that. And if you don't do it, you're going to feel like you missed an opportunity. So that's why that's why a lot of these people do that. They rush over and they're like, well,
try.
It doesn't matter how this turns out because at least I got to, you know, talk to the guy.
Right.
So that's the chance that you take. If you're going to take the chance to interrupt them in a public place, then if they give you shit, hey, at least you can say you talked to them.
It's like almost any professional athlete, not just a wrestler, but
Anybody in the entertainment business, period, whether it be a musician, an actor, a sports person, it don't matter.
Sure. You catch them at the wrong time, they're going to be a dick. But the thing is,
because you don't know what's going on in their life. Their parent could, you know, like their parent could have just died the day before. They could be sitting there mourning a death of a family member or a close friend, and you're up here, can I get your autograph, please?
Exactly. And that's the last thing they want to, you know, be thinking about. So I understand both aspects of it. I really do. And it makes sense.
No, I understand the aspect, but I would rather fight the urge and not risk damaging my image of the person that I admire than to piss them off just because I want an autograph.
And you should know the wrong places, like you said, restaurant, airport. You know, they're trying to catch a flight. They're trying to relax and catch a meal, you know. So
I met Victoria. I got a couple pictures. I met Brian. I should say I worked a show with Brian Christopher. During a show, you know, they're usually very open. So he gave, you know, we took a picture, yada, yada. I met Victoria at her restaurant, the Squared Circle in Chicago. I don't think it's hers anymore, but in 2014 when she what?
She retired from it, and it's still in the family, but she retired. I think she has a daughter that she gave it to. So I'm almost positive.
I thought she moved down south or something.
She did after she retired and gave her daughter, who was in the restaurant. So,
but nevertheless, it was 2014. It was the night that the network went live, and It was NXT TakeOver Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this humongous ant crawling on my computer, so bear with me a moment while I kill it.
Can tell it's getting warmer. I just want
yeah,
to
and I think I'm going to have a major bug problem in this house.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's
okay. Anyway.
Yep.
And her and I can only assume her boyfriend because they were sitting at this table that was in front of the screen and whatnot, and they're watching TakeOver Arrival, and I'm sitting at this big table with a bunch of guys that we had just gotten from a wrestling practice with, and I was not the first one to do it, but there was a few people before me, and I'm thinking to myself, it's her private time, you know, she's just sitting there just trying to enjoy the show, she's with her boyfriend.
Right.
Best that I don't go, whatever. However, I wasn't totally stupid, because after about three or four guys went over and did bother her, and she seemed to be cool
uh-huh.
with it, then I said, I got to do it. If she's cool with it, everybody else, I can't leave here without getting a picture.
Right.
So I went over. She had her hair pulled back, and she's just, you know, whatever. And I walked up nice and calmly and quietly. She turned around. And I was like, I'm sorry to bother you, Lisa, but I don't know if I called her Lisa or Victoria, but Lisa
right.
being her real name.
Yes.
And she's like, yeah, what can I do for you? I was like, I was wondering if I could get a picture. Instantly, she's like, yeah, sure. Stood up. Pulled this thing out of her hair. Her hair falls down and straight, throws her arm around me, big old smile, takes the picture, and whipped her hair back up, sat back down, and said, thank you very much. I said, thank you. And I went back to my table.
Great story.
So
that was.
You just got to pay attention, all right? Use a guinea pig if you
right.
have to, okay? Find somebody who doesn't give a flying rat's ass who that person is and say, hey, do me a favor. Go ask them for an autograph real quick so I can see how they react.
If you can find the guinea pig. No, I agree.
Partner.
Great story, though.
Oh, I'm not sure what else to talk about today.
Let's see, some fallout still. I thought Monday night was, SmackDown Friday. Mysterio and Otis, what's the point? What's the point?
And that was something else that Meltzer said that pissed me off. He freaking actually praised the tag team of Otis and Gable.
Right.
I'm like, why the hell are you praising this tag team? I mean, granted, they're doing okay considering the story they're in, but there is nothing special about that. They've ruined Otis's lovable side character.
Yes.
They've made Chad Gable off to be like this weaselly, smarmy little, like almost a manipulator, almost.
Because an Olympian or whatever he was, or
yeah, he was an Olympian.
I just don't get it. Otis was doing much better on his own, much better on his own.
Actually, I'll just say that they should have kept Heavy Machinery together, which is a beautiful segue into the next segment. Topic, which is releases.
Yeah.
Go ahead, partner, because you know about them too. You don't?
No, I did not this one, not the ones this week. I didn't see. I missed it.
Really?
Busy week. So.
Man, well, one they released that I know of five. They released Bo Dallas. Okay, fine. He hasn't done squats since 2019. They released Mickie James, which is fine because she hasn't really done a whole lot either. They have released Peyton Royce and Billy Kay.
Both?
Both. Oh. They released Billy. That the news about Billy Kay came out Monday. The news about Peyton Royce came out a day or two after that.
With the
and
match
then
that
the
head against Oscar?
Exactly. Peyton Royce had potential. Billy Kay was being utilized, even though I don't like her in-ring ability, and I think she's annoying.
Yeah.
She was being utilized every week on TV. So
exactly.
She was clearly had something that was being done with. So why are you going to release somebody you're utilizing instead of releasing somebody that's not doing anything?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so number four. Or no.
Last but not
four.
Least.
Last.
No, this is number five. Might even be number six. I'm not sure. They released Samoa Joe.
Okay.
I thought you knew about this partner, so this makes this a lot more entertaining that you're just now hearing about this now. Yes, they released Samoa Joe. The man just did WrestleMania the night before, stood in the ring with Michael Cole in a plastic poncho thing, and the day after WrestleMania, they give him his release.
That's shit. That's I don't like that. That's Vince, I guess.
Me either.
It's just
I don't know if Joe asked for his release or not. But
okay.
I don't think that's Vince. I don't think that's Vince. I find it very hard to believe that Vince would release Samoa Joe because people liked him on commentary. As far as I know, everybody's liked him on commentary.
I loved him better in the ring.
So why
but
would
he
you?
Great on commentary.
I have a feeling that somebody in the offices were making these decisions, and I had this conversation with my rookie just the other night. We went to a wrestling show in Chicago, and I was telling him everybody puts things on Vince's shoulders. Everything is Vince's fault. Everything, every single solitary decision that's made is made by Vince. And that's not true. Maybe in the Attitude Era, because it was Vince at the top, and then he had Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe and a little bit of Jim Cornette in there. You know, he had his round table of wrestling nights or whatever you want to call it that made all the decisions. But since the company went public and it's become a corporation and they've hired all of these executives and vice presidents and, you know, all these multiple divisions and whatnot, Vince can't make every freaking decision, people.
Okay, so you're telling me that these people can make the decision?
Here's the thing. This is my philosophy on this. Do you think that the wrestlers are the only people that get fired at WWE? They don't fire writers.
No.
They don't fire executives.
Every day.
I can totally see somebody making the decision to give them their release, and then it gets back to Vince McMahon. Shortly after, that sucker's going to lose his job, too, for releasing somebody he didn't want gone.
Right. Okay, I can see that.
And now over the next 90 days, because of the no-compete clause, Vince McMahon is going to have to reapproach these people, like Samoa Joe or something, and see if there's any way to renegotiate and to get them back. Now, it's possible. Remember, last year, Drake Maverick was released the day after WrestleMania, but he had that emotional thing right after on NXT in the Cruiserweight tournament, and he's been utilized ever since.
True.
And so it's never etched in stone. It's never etched in stone that just because somebody's been given their release that they're gone. It might
but
be
I've never
six
seen...
months. It might be a year.
I've never heard of anybody getting pissed off at Joe. He's always done his work inside the ring, at the announce table, wherever he's been asked to work. He's done it. You know, so I just don't understand that one. And if it is true, if he did ask for his release, or they don't re-sign him, you got to believe he's going to fit in at AEW.
I believe so.
So I
think that's a no-brainer. I think it's a no-brainer. Because Joe was working, I want to say he was working Ring of Honor before he went to NXT. So he knows who the Young Bucks are. He knows who Kenny Omega is.
He knows who Taz is.
Think he worked briefly with Chris Jericho when he got called up to the main roster. Yeah, he worked with Sting in TNA. He worked with Christian Cage in TNA. So I could totally see that.
But that shocks me. That really shocks me. I normally I look for the releases. And this week I was just
surprised you didn't know.
Yeah. And Peyton Royce surprises me too. I mean, she's got the looks. There's no doubt about that. And she showed it.
The only two
Asuka.
That didn't surprise me was Bo Dallas and Mickie James. The rest of them surprised me.
Bo Dallas, he started out hot and then just fizzled out immediately.
Get me wrong. Bo Dallas is a good talent in the ring. I just never got his character. I never got his personality. When he was in NXT, I don't necessarily think that it was his gimmick that was getting over, because his gimmick was throwing temper tantrums and Bo leave, and the chant was that people actually wanted him to leave. And he would tease them by coming back out of the curtain and making them boo more. I mean, that one's a toss-up. I really don't know if that was one of those fan interaction things or if the fans really just wanted him to go.
Exactly. And he's
because
another
from the
one.
Moment he got his main roster call-up, he was just a dud. Nobody gave a damn about him.
And he's got so much blood in his wrestling blood. I mean, his grandfather's Blackjack Mulligan. His father is Mike Rotunda, like Bray Wyatt. His uncles are Barry and Kendall Wyndham. And his brother.
And his brother is Bray Wyatt. You said his brother is Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Either that or I was just thinking it in my head. But nevertheless. You know, you're absolutely right. And I think the most that Bo Dallas ever really got over was when he was teamed with Curtis Axel doing the whole B-team thing. I loved some of the stuff that they were doing as a B-team.
I did too. It didn't bother me. It was good mid-card stuff, I thought. You know, it didn't belong in a main event. The humor of it.
I'm trying to remember.
Do
you remember the time where he was wearing, like, leather gloves and a jean jacket and whatnot? And I can't remember.
I just can't.
What the gimmick was, or he was somebody's backup. I can't remember whose backup he was. Oh, shit. Whose backup was he? That's how him and Curtis Axel got together to begin with. The Miz. They were backups for The Miz.
The Miz,
That's what it was.
Yep.
That whole time he was doing really well. And then when they split up from The Miz is when they started doing the B-team thing. I thought he was doing great at that time. And
he was.
They just should have kept going with it. And there was no reason why he couldn't have had a shot at a mid-card title or something and see if he can what he could do with it.
Right. And then if Continental or a USA or U.S. Championship. I would say U.S. Championship before the Intercontinental. Because the Intercontinental is a big step up. Used to be.
You're always going to say, no, I know what you mean. But that's exactly the way WWE feels about it, too. The United States right. champion, that's a WCW thing. But we'll
right.
put it on one of our shows. The Intercontinental title, that is the second best.
Right. That was always the number one contender to the World Championship back in the day was the Intercontinental
United States
champion,
yeah. No, both of them were. United States title
in
was that way in NWA.
Oh, in NWA, yeah. But the Intercontinental in WWF/E was always the top before the World Championship back in the 80s and stuff. So
it was, but it never got the recognition that the heavyweight title did. That was the one thing that I would give to NWA. The NWA was very good at making each and every one of their champions seem, look,
yes.
and feel like they were champions. Like the title that they held mattered.
Yes.
And for God's sake, you talk about WWE having a lot of titles. The NWA in the mid to late 80s, mid-80s, they had a shit ton of titles. They had the world title. They had the United States title. They had the North American title. They had the tag team titles. They had the United States tag team titles. They had the junior heavyweight title. They had the six-man tag titles. Give me a freaking break. And you guys want to complain about WWE now?
They had the national heavyweight title also.
I thought it was the North American title.
No, that was a totally different belt. There was another one, national heavyweight title. And there was a national
title. There was also one that Barry Windham had. Barry Windham had
Western State,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So they did.
And when they had those first couple dozen Clash of Champions specials on TBS, you saw all of those titles on there.
And that's what was so great about it.
So, absolutely.
You know, but people would say that watched that era would say, well, those shows, half of them ended up in a double countout. No, they really didn't. You know, if you sat down and watched each match, every title match was a couple countouts or double countouts. But a lot of them ended
up. Well, yeah,
cleaner.
Because you have to have a different ending for every match.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's the way a show like that should go. Okay. You know the outcomes are predetermined. You know that the titles are, for lack of a better term, a prop. I don't believe it's a prop. I believe it's a sign of respect of them carrying that mantle, but nevertheless,
right.
When you have something like Night of Champions, and WWE pisses me off on this when they do Night of Champions, I should say Clash of Champions from back then, WWE pisses me off at Night of Champions because they don't utilize this formula. Yes, you have all of your championships on the line, so you're going to have championship matches all night long.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different ways for these things to end. You can have the champion retain. You can have the champion lose. You can have the champion get counted out. You can have the opponent get counted out. You can have the champion get disqualified. You can have the opponent get disqualified. You can have double
right.
disqualification, a double count out. You can have...
There's tons of
outside
things,
interference,
right.
run-in. You can have tons of different ways of doing it. And even though the outcomes are predetermined, the fans do not know. You have to have
right.
a couple of titles change hands. That way it keeps it exciting for the folks at home, whether it be the heel
sure.
winning and, oh, you beat my favorite guy. You shouldn't have the title. Or the babyface wins and they're like, hey, the babyface wins.
Right.
But WWE on I won't say all the time, but more times than I care to remember, I've watched a pay-per-view where no titles change hands.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I loved about Clash of Champions. even, you know, with WCW, even if the title changed hands that night, the next pay-per-view, you never know what was going to happen. You know, it could change hands again. So it's set up.
Well, back in the NWA days, there wasn't a whole bunch of pay-per-views. So the titles would change hands multiple times on non-televised events. Because if you remember, Great American Bash would be almost like a three-month-long event.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and every week on the TV, they would rattle off what cities they're going to be in next.
Yep. And actually, yeah,
Oh yeah, yeah. Great American Bash was in July. Usually, it was at least a 4 to 6 week kind of thing. It wasn't like 3 months.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
It ran into August a little bit for the finale.
Yeah, usually the last night of it would be the big televised one.
Right.
Damn it, I forgot what I was going to say. Ah, well.
The difference is the Clash of Champions with WWE, in my opinion, does not hold a candle to the WCW days. It really doesn't.
No.
Because it's a pay-per-view in itself. And Clash of Champions used to be free on TBS. So.
Well, I'll give it. No. I'll agree with that part. If you're going to have all your championships on the line, NWA started doing the Clash of Champions, I think, when Vince McMahon started doing pay-per-views. Because they figure if they put a Clash of Champions on, I remember hearing a story from somewhere, I can't remember who, that Clash of Champions was supposed to be put on like the week of whatever pay-per-view that WWE was going to do to try and get the fans away from that pay-per-view.
Right.
But that's the thing. That's the thing about Vince McMahon and the NWA console and all them people back in the day was they just didn't understand. Wrestling fans are that freaking devoted that they watch both.
Sure. The first Clash of Champions.
Back then it was a lot easier to watch both.
Right. Clash of Champions debuted in 88. So that's right around the time.
That was.
You know, it was getting hot in wrestling. So.
Yeah.
Both of them.
That was that was just NWA trying to get their viewers back from WWE. WWE
right.
in 88 was white hot because they had just had WrestleMania. Well, this was the year after they had WrestleMania 3. They were going into WrestleMania 4 where Randy Savage would get the title. You know, so
right.
WWE was red hot that year. NWA was struggling to come up with ways to try and get people back.
And
it was funny because my mom's boyfriend at the time was strictly NWA / WCW. I didn't really understand that one.
No, I started out, well, like I said, even before NWA with big time wrestling, they called it.
You started watching back when everything was syndicated. There was no countrywide wrestling at all. It was all syndicated stuff.
No, exactly. I got the big time wrestling based out of Detroit and / Ontario when the original Sheik ran it. That's when I started. But first, when it became nationwide, I was a diehard NWA / WCW fan. I wasn't even interested in WWE for the first, I'd say, 2 years of Raw. It just didn't interest me. It looked like, if you watched before we lost it, the very first Raws up to about that point, they sort of look like a big bingo hall, like ECW ran in, you know, when they ran.
Oh, absolutely.
This.
It looked definitely like WCW Sunday night things, because when they had the studio audience and you know, circling the ring and whatnot, because there was literally only one side of the ring that had some people in it. Granted, it was pretty full, but there couldn't have been more than 100 people there, maybe 150.
That's what I was thinking. Right.
It looked very low key.
I can't remember the name of the place. They'd say it every week. Welcome to Raw and whatever. They did it from the same place every week, pretty much, until they started going live.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
I'm pretty sure until they started going live.
I know the Hammerstein Ballroom was ECW. I can't remember what Monday Night Raw one was.
No, I can't either. I can just picture that brown balcony coming down a little bit. You know, they held a few people up there. And then you had the siren at the beginning of Raw that they would always play. So, but it look what he turned it into.
I was a kid. Okay, I was, let's see, 93. I was only 15,
okay.
I think. So I grew up with WWF, you know, the larger than life characters, the spectacle and all that. I did not appreciate the wrestling aspect of it. In my later years, I do respect that more out of the NWA, because theirs was more wrestling based and WWE was more character based.
Mm-hmm.
But
eventually the NWA had to pick it up. The NWA had to pick up the action because of what the WWE was doing. You know what
they
I mean?
Tried,
the high flyers.
But they failed, and that's when they split off, and WCW, when Turner bought the NWA, whatever, and renamed it WCW.
Right.
And that's when Ted Turner, you know, put Bischoff in control. So NWA never successfully got back. They're still in operation today. Billy Corgan, Owen Dickey, trying to do something with it. And there's probably hundreds of independent organizations across the country that are affiliated with the NWA.
Right.
And I think they pay dues or whatever, and they still utilize it a little bit like the territory days, where some of the NWA champions will come and do a match at the independent one or whatever. And I don't know if they can charge for it or not. I have no idea about that stuff.
Right.
But
let's face it, the NWA will never be what it was. Never. I don't care who owns it. Those glory days will never come back. And I don't think...
Here's my scenario for that. Glory days of what?
Of the Attitude Era and things like that will never come back.
They'll never be repeated. The Attitude Era can never be repeated. However, the NWA has one chance of successfully making a comeback. And this is how it happens. All professional wrestling gets stripped from television, banned from television.
Yeah.
Because WWE does not have enough talent to run multiple places all over the country, let alone the globe. AEW sure as hell does.
No.
NWA already has, like I said, hundreds of independent organizations all around the country under the NWA flag, and the NWA talent kind of shifts through all of these places. Al Snow was one
like
of them.
Like they used to.
So hypothetically speaking, with this cancel culture thing that we have, with all of the people throwing hissy fits over the little stupidest stuff, I'm surprised wrestling
right.
has lasted as long as it has.
Myself included. I agree.
But all it's going to take is one crappy decision, and they're going to and they'll yank professional wrestling from television, which is going to put WWE out of business because they don't know how to not be on television. AEW will just become another one of those independent feds. You know, they'll sell out real good in Florida because that's where their whole fan base is at, but they'll probably never, you know, do anything else. That is the one scenario that will give the NWA the opportunity to thrive again.
Right. Because even back in the day, I'm not sure you probably know this, but when TV was invented, probably about 48, and from 48 to 57, pro wrestling was the number one or number two television show on TV. The only other show that would beat it sometimes is Lucy. You know, I Love Lucy. So.
Well, that's back when kayfabe was locked down and everybody still thought it was real.
Oh, yeah. Sure. You'd see 80-year-old ladies, no offense, but at ringside, you know, screaming and wanting to pound something on the bad guy when he falls out of the ring or, you know, some of that stuff was fun to watch when you could see, you know, if you can see
absolutely.
It on YouTube. I don't know if it would work today.
I used to like watching the old school WWF when On Demand was there, and I want to say it was the Joe Louis Arena shows. There was always some Sicilian old lady in that front row screaming at somebody.
Right. It's just hilarious. I don't think we'll ever see those days again, though. And I hate that. I really do.
Not on that level. Like I said, there's that one scenario. There's only one scenario. It's possible. It's just none of us wants to see it because we don't want our wrestling to be taken from television.
Exactly. There is a possibility. You never know. It could be. Especially the way people complain today. And
I guarantee you if it happens that you'll see the WWE Network back up in a heartbeat.
I agree. And that'll be the only place that you can watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-views, whatever. So, in a way, and why not, if that happens, why not resort, after this bullshit's over, to some house shows and sneak those in once in a while? Not necessarily in your house.
Honestly, I thought they would do that. No. I know what you mean because that's the way a couple of years they did the Starrcade event, which was basically just a house show that got televised, so they called it Starrcade.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I hated that. You can't belittle Starrcade like that.
No, you can't.
But
actually, it beat Vince, but it wasn't a pay-per-view. You'd have to go to places to watch it on closed circuit. But you did have to pay
83,
money.
84, I want to say 83 through 86 was probably closed circuit.
Right. And then they finally got the pay-per-view contract.
That's why the Great Wrestling Classic and WrestleMania 1 and 2 were also closed circuit.
Yes, because WrestleMania 1 and 2 were at two or three different places, were they not?
Well, WrestleMania 1 was Madison Square Garden. WrestleMania 2
hailed
from New York, L.A., and Chicago.
Chicago, right, okay. So I knew the first couple.
That was the whole reason they had the Bears players in the Battle Royal.
Right. Which I'm sure you loved. If you were a Bears fan.
I was like 7 years old when it happened, maybe eight at most. I didn't know who to – I barely knew who William the Refrigerator Perry was only because of the Super Bowl shuffle. I didn't follow football. I didn't know nothing about the Super Bowl itself. All I knew was the Super Bowl shuffle was a catchy tune when I was seven.
So I think I figured out why my parents called me a freak of nature, because when I was seven – I understood all four main sports, and I knew all the rules and most of the players. So I don't know why.
Well, probably why you went into broadcasting.
And none of my family liked sports.
Ah. So your family wasn't sports fans.
No. And I was named after my uncle. He was a prospect for the Detroit Tigers in baseball. He was getting called up to the majors, and the game before that, he pitched in the minors, got a line drive back at him, and broke all his fingers. Never pitched again. They think that's where I got my sports blood from.
Okay, now that I know that little story, I'm going to ask the age-old question. So how did you stumble across sports that got you so obsessed with it? I mean, not just wrestling. When you were, like you said, like 5, 6, 7 years old, what was it that – how did you stumble across sports if your family weren't sports fanatics? Yeah.
My first obsession was NHL hockey and minor league hockey because we had a team here called the Toledo Gold Diggers. I listened to every game on the radio, so that got me started. And it's like I could visualize from the radio, from the play-by-play guy, what was happening. So then, even before cable, I started watching pro hockey on Channel 9 out of Windsor. I don't know if you get that or not. You probably get another Canadian station or whatever. But they showed Montreal Canadian hockey. So I became obsessed with them first. And then it carried on to college football, to pro football. Back in those days, pro basketball, I haven't watched it in over 10 years now. But I think it's just a show. And then baseball slowly grew on me. See, I couldn't play sports. So I either wanted to broadcast or I wanted to coach. And I coached a few high school teams, nothing noteworthy, for over 20 years. We did come in second 1 year out in the state. But I've always wanted to be in sports, broadcasting or wrestling. So that's how I basically became obsessed with it. I stumbled across wrestling.
Now I understand why you're so why you hound me all the time about being grateful about me bringing you on as the co-host. I wish I could have done more for you. I wish this was a popular show because I'd at least, you know, I'd be able to give you like I can say, yeah, I let you live your dream. No, I let you onto a floundering show that doesn't do nothing, but you're still kind of living your dream.
Yes, I am floundering now, but we don't know what's going to happen down the road. You never know. We get the right listener.
I don't care. I do it just to do it.
I enjoy it. I do. I enjoy it.
As far as I'm concerned, I mean, don't get me wrong. I we've said this before. We would love to be the top show, you know, top podcast, top rated podcast in the world and all that, but that's not going to freaking happen. And so, if we don't hit 100 subscribers, I save $100. I don't have to pay out $100.
That's right.
I am not concerned with that.
Who doesn't want a free $100? I'll tell you what.
Oh, believe me, if I was giving out $1,000, it'd be a different story. If I was guaranteeing $1,000, I'm sure they'd come flying in.
Right, but they also missed what? The first three code words.
Well, it's all on YouTube. All they have to do is go back and listen to them.
That's right.
That's also
right.
Why I say that Jason has a head start on everybody.
And hopefully he listens to these replays too. But
I hope so. Jason, if you're listening, give us a call. Let us know that you're still listening. Not today, obviously, because you're probably at work and you're going to be listening to the replay. But if you listen or watch this replay, give us a call next week or whatever, or hit me up on Facebook. Let me know you're still watching.
And if we get to the number you want for your giveaway, I'll do the next giveaway. If we can even climb higher. Yes.
More money giveaways.
So we need people to start listening, subscribing, getting our code words.
Well, we want them to. We don't need them to. We could do this by ourselves for the next 30 years. It doesn't matter. But we want
That's
them to. Because we
game.
Just like everybody else, we want our opinions to be heard because we believe that we have good ideas and that we have good opinions. And
we do.
Unfortunately, the million of podcasters out there all feel the same thing, that they have, you know, a justified opinion. I just think that we have a step above most because we don't generally run down anybody. We don't call anybody out for being a bad wrestler or being a bad stick man or whatever.
Sure.
We do talk, you know, we did say Great Khali wasn't a great in-ring performer and he couldn't do promos and this and that. But we also talk about how he's a great man. He's a great man. We don't belittle the man. We belittle the character a little bit, but never the person.
And what he could have done, getting under the right tutelage. I think that's part of the problem.
A lot of English classes too.
That's true. That is true. But look at Asuka. She started. She couldn't speak.
Plus his gigantism, it was a factor too.
Because
Andre didn't talk very well because of it.
Oh, he did.
The Big Show.
Right.
He had some issues. Just because his head was so big and his mouth, you know, his teeth weren't straight and all that because of his gigantism. He just got his out of control.
He got the operation to get that gland out of there. Is where Andre didn't. So.
Well, I don't know if they knew about it back then.
They might not have. I'm not sure. In fact, A&E.
Or at the very least, might not have known how to take it out.
The A&E, I don't know if you're aware, has these new documentaries on every Saturday. They had Andre on Saturday, so I DVR'd that. I didn't tape it.
Oh, that's right. They did one in Austin this weekend, didn't they?
In Austin, and this week is
This week was Austin. I remember that.
And the week
I don't remember if it was last night or if it's tonight.
From what I've seen on our cable, they're on Saturdays, but who knows? They could be on
it was probably last night. I just wasn't paying attention. I gotta look it up.
What I need to do. See all times or whatever. You know, you go under that, and then you could see who's on what, how many times. So, but I want to watch the Andre document because I've always been.
I want to watch the Andre 30 for 30 that ESPN did. There's a lot of documentaries that I never got to see. Andre was the first 30 for 30 wrestling thing that ESPN did. I want to say Ric Flair was the second one.
I saw the Ric Flair one, but I did not see the Andre one.
Maybe it wasn't. It wasn't 30 for 30. It was a Showtime original documentary.
Okay. Well, I know HBO had Andres.
Maybe it was HBO. I haven't had any of those movie channels in decades.
Oh, I have. I haven't either because they don't show movies anymore. Everything's a series. I thought there were movie channels. Just like I thought.
All right, movie channels.
Just like I thought MTV and VH1 were music channels. Now they're all series.
And crappy ones at that.
You got it.
I got to step away for a hot second. I know I'm on the phone, but I got to start my dinner here real quick. It'll only take me a moment.
No problem. Let's see what else we could talk about. There was something didn't write like on Raw this week.
Well, I didn't get to touch on it too much, but let's talk about the Cesaro push.
I love it. Finally, he gets pushed.
But here's the thing. Okay, when Cesaro came out, yes, I was thrilled. I was like, great, we're finally going to see Cesaro in a main title picture. And Roman Reigns' reaction to it, absolutely loved it. Loved it. It was this whole, who the hell are you to step up to me? You've had one freaking WrestleMania victory. You haven't held hardly any titles. Who the hell are you to step up to me? Loved it. What I didn't like was that Seth Rollins attacked Cesaro at the end of the night against Jey Uso, which makes it seem like they're just going to continue with the freaking Seth Rollins angle.
And that's stupid. That to me is just stupid.
Yes, sir.
Cesaro move up. And I don't know about...
What was the point of giving him the push at WrestleMania if you're not going to go ahead and push him into that title picture?
Right. Let Seth Rollins find another opponent, or let them find another opponent for him. How about Seth?
And that's where WrestleMania got it right, because everything was just regurgitated, same old crap. What was it? They said it was about the Raw and SmackDown just having the same old matches that they've been having for weeks. And it's true.
And what?
They were good matches. They entertained me. It was just the same shit.
But, why the interference at the end? It makes no sense. I say...
No, it makes perfect sense because they're going to continue with that rivalry.
But in my book, I would, Sheamus took care of Riddle. Okay, if Sheamus took care of Riddle, not easily, but pretty easily at WrestleMania, why would you challenge Bobby on Raw?
Oh, that definitely made Riddle look weak as fuck.
It did.
They are making Riddle look like shit. And I believe that we called that, too. I believe that we said that if Riddle didn't retain, that he would be basically squashed. He'd be buried.
Right, right.
And that's exactly what's going down, is they're burying Riddle.
Yep. So why not let Seth move on to Sheamus and Cesaro move up, to Roman?
Because that would make too much damn sense. Remember what I was talking about earlier about your mid card being as strong as your top card. Putting Seth Rollins in the United States title picture would make too much sense, because you're making your mid card as strong as your top card. They're too busy thinking that Seth Rollins is too big of a name to feud for the United States title. That's why I think WWE has lost their direction. They've lost the ability to remember you're supposed to be building up the mid card titles as well as the main titles. The main titles are supposed to be the main events. They're supposed to be the main attractions. You want to use the women's championship in the main events? By all means, the women have busted their ass for the past 5-6 years to get there.
Absolutely.
And Bianca and Sasha did a spectacular job. Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda was a great match all the way up until that ending. But
right,
you know, you don't have to put the heavyweight title in the last match if you're going to put the women's title in that match. But then you make it second to last match.
Right.
And then you have your mid-card title, which is self-explanatory. It's in the mid-card. So right in the middle of the card, you have your mid-card title defense. But, no, they've lost that vision.
As far as pushing Seth, let's say, a little down for the U.S. title, here's my reference. Dusty Rhodes himself as the booker, when he lost the title to Flair, pushed himself down to the U.S. title. Chances. He only won it once. But if Dusty can do it, Seth can do it, in my opinion. You know?
Absolutely. It's going to be a hard task for me to do because a lot of these independent guys, they're used to either being in a really hot rivalry or being in that main title picture. It's going to take me a long time to gain their respect and their trust and the trust in my judgment that I want them to be in the mid-card title picture to help lift up, you know, both halves of the show.
Uh-huh. Now, going a different course here, I see a split coming. Miz and Morrison, especially if Maurice comes back full-time. Not full-time.
No, I have no idea what's going on with that. I really, really don't.
Because he sort of left him back when Maurice was there. You know, it sort of let, you know.
You know me. I'm not going to say one way or the other because anything's possible. But I don't see Maurice hanging around. I think it was a one-night thing just to plug Miz and Mrs.
Which has been on for 3 seasons, so why do you need to plug it now?
They always plug the season premiere or new episodes.
Well, yeah.
Plus, Maurice now has her own beauty care supply line, so they're trying to push that too.
Yeah, forgot about that. But I see her as a pretty decent manager for the Miz, if she wants to go that route.
Oh no, absolutely, 1,000,000%. She doesn't have to be an in-ring talent anymore. She could just be that physical valet.
Right. Just like in the match, she didn't need to, but she held Miz's foot on the rope, you know, in that Monday Night Raw match. So.
Oh, I've always respected Maurice. When she first hit the scene during the Divas division, I didn't like her because she was, you know, just another pretty blonde who I felt was just there to get her face on TV. But Maurice earned my respect over the years. And
then she invented that thing called talk to the hand.
Yeah, she was, when I look back at it, that was her persona, that was her character, and she got that shit over. She did a great job.
She
so
sure did.
I respect Maurice
she
and her
sure
ability.
Did. Yes, I do. Definitely. That's why I think she would make a good manager for the Miz. Morrison might do better on his own. That or let
the only
know.
Reason why you're not going to see that is because Maurice and Miz are a lot more hands-on with their parenting.
Right.
So I don't think you're going to see them on a regular basis. I mean, I can certainly see an occasional storyline that brings Maurice into it for a month or two or something, but not a whole long thing.
I thought I'd see her at WrestleMania before I'd see her at a Raw. You know, it just, I thought
it
would have been
the night after Raw.
Moment.
This is the fallout of Raw, right? This is the fallout of WrestleMania. WrestleMania, you know, the night after. Go ahead.
at WrestleMania, she would have had a live crowd reaction. You know.
As opposed, well, like I said, they were plugging Miz and Morrison. Miz and Mrs., which was supposed to be premiering right after Raw. So I mean, it made sense. But this episode is about the fallout from WrestleMania. And we always expect Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania to be this huge thing. And nothing happened. Like I said, it was regurgitated matches. There was the only thing really of any noteworthy was Charlotte Flair coming out on Raw and looking better than ever. And then there was the WrestleMania rematch, which in a weird sort of way was almost a given that Charlotte was going to interfere in that match. But
right.
So we're moving on to probably a triple threat between the three.
And I like how she did her interview. I don't know what's true, what isn't, you know, how it happened. All I read is a bunch of stories concerning her.
Which is always the best.
Andrade. Right. So but she never mentioned it. She said, do I blame this or do I blame this or do I blame this? But you're right. She looked hotter than ever, I thought. She really did.
Oh, yeah. She's lost some weight, definitely. She looks like she did almost back in NXT.
And I think she quit Botox in her lips. So it looks like
thank
that
God.
Too. No kidding.
Ladies, quit Botox in your lips.
You don't need it.
You look like a fucking
really
Oscar Mayer wiener sitting on your lip.
Yeah. I agree. I definitely agree.
We got a phone call, partner, so I'm going to put them through here real quick as soon as I grab the right mouse.
All right.
Hey, caller, you're on the line. What can we do for you?
Well, my two cents on wrestling, of course, if y'all don't know who this is, it is I, Kayvon Journey.
You're Tribal Chief.
Welcome back to the show. It's been a while. Haven't heard from you since we jumped to Sundays.
Of course. You know, I was like, one day I'm going to get on there and I'm going to surprise them. And, well, I thought today was a perfect day. Yes.
You should call every chance you get.
Since it's been so long, give us your rundown on how you felt about WrestleMania and the fallout of WrestleMania.
Well, first off, WrestleMania, night one was okay. Okay, the main event of night one was fantastic. But I got to say, night two was better than night one, especially the main event of night two, that triple threat match with Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan and Edge. Oh, man, you couldn't have asked for a better main event. And who won? I don't know. Your Tribal Chief, spoiler alert, sorry, Roman Reigns beat two of the best in the business. And, yes, my brother was upset. He started talking trash. But it went in one ear, not the other for me, because, I mean, I don't really care. I don't want to hear it no more. Roman Reigns beat two of the best in the business. Who can stop this man? From what I see, nobody can stop Roman Reigns.
Have you listened to the whole show tonight? Or are you just calling in?
I'm listening to the whole show tonight.
So you heard what I talked about Roman's next three opponents? You heard about Roman's next three projected opponents?
I have not. I kind of missed that.
Well, they're speculating that over the next couple of big shows, which I assume would be SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and next year's Royal Rumble, they're talking about Roman versus John Cena, Brock Lesnar, and The Rock.
Well, I know all three of those men. Yeah, it is interesting. John Cena, he's going to lose because he sucked. I'm sorry. Brock Lesnar, he might give Roman Reigns a fight, but let's look at it like this. The heel Roman Reigns is the best Roman. Brock Lesnar is going to lose as well. The only person I could see giving Roman Reigns a challenge will be his own cousin, The Rock. I'm sorry, the other two options, they are going to lose flat out.
Okay, let me ask you one question.
I'm right there with you on that, Kayvon. No, go ahead, partner.
Why would you say Cena sucks when he's tied with Flair for world titles?
Again, partner,
well,
that's just
you,
the person's opinion.
Right. No, I'm not taking anything away from Kayvon. I just want to hear his opinion on it.
So John Cena, he has won many championship belts. You know, I love him. Well, I used to love him.
One too many.
He went up against The Fiend. Yeah, one too many. But then he went up against The Fiend. And what did The Fiend Bray Wyatt do? The Fiend made John Cena look weak. Okay, he went back to the past and came to the present. John Cena couldn't do nothing to The Fiend. So that right there alone, if John Cena can't do nothing to The Fiend, John Cena definitely can't do nothing to the heel Roman.
Okay, now I'll agree with that because it is a great
I can agree with that too. I got my own arguments on that, but I won't get into it right now. But I can agree with that for the most part. And I said, like, at the top of the show about that those three guys, Kayvon, is that I honestly believe that Roman is going to win all three of those matches, all three of those rivalries, because I think the WWE, and it's really a crapshoot on whether or not they pick up on stuff, but I think they've really realized that this is the best Roman Reigns they've ever had, and that Roman Reigns is white hot right now as a heel. So they're going to line up these three mega matches with Cena, Brock, and The Rock, and have Roman go over in those matches as well, because they really want to solidify that Roman is this decade's Cena or this decade's Brock or whatever. They're trying to make sure that Roman stays in that top spot.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, playing devil's advocate, and I hate to do this, what if, and God forbid it doesn't happen, he comes out of remission? Then what do you do?
Well, see, and that's the thing, because me and Martez, we talk about this all the time. If Brock comes back to WWE, just come out of remission, and he destroyed everyone.
No, he's talking about Roman Reigns' leukemia coming back again.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, see, if Roman Reigns' leukemia come back, and if for any reason he has to drop the belt, then I will feel, I can't really say upset, because he beat leukemia already, like twice, I believe. So
no, that's true.
I'm just saying, if he has to drop the belt, then I can see him dropping the belt to somebody like his cousin, Jay, the main event, Jay Uso. Mm. I can see him dropping the belt to him, and then going up and battling leukemia, and then come back and taking his belt back. I can see that. But if he just dropped the belt and the belt is on just vacated, then I will feel upset, because it's like you should give it to a family member and let him hold on to the belt until you get back.
Well, you should never
lose
it to injury.
That's a possible storyline.
You should never lose it to injury or whatever happens, because you never officially lost it.
Oh, no, I love those storylines where they do have to vacate the title or something along those lines, because then when the person comes back, they have a solid storyline in place that allows them to go right back into the title picture because they never lost it. I do like that.
Right.
I just don't like guys that come in and, you know, like we said before, like Goldberg, who is on again, off again. You know, he comes back for a match here and there, and it always seems to be in the title picture. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. Come in, pick a fight with one of the top guys. Yes, fine. but why does it always have to be for the title? Goldberg hasn't done anything to deserve that.
I have one question that I don't know. Where's Jimmy Uso?
That is a good question. My brother asked me the same.
He was
question.
Out on injury.
Where is Jimmy? Yeah,
he was out on injury.
That,
I don't know why he hasn't come back yet, though.
Well, from my resources, he is getting ready to come back and to the ring. You know, he's exercising, you know, spending time with his family. So from my resources, he's getting his mindset together to come back.
Okay.
But here's the question, though, Kayvon, is if he comes back, are they going to put the Usos back together, which would do nothing but take Jey Uso down? And are they if they keep him if they keep Jimmy Uso in the singles division, how is that going to play off?
Or if they make him rivals?
Another excellent question, and I'm gonna say this because this is where my theory is going to lie. Since main event Jey Uso is with Roman Reigns right now, when Jimmy come back, Jimmy might align himself with the head of the table, with Roman Reigns as well. So that way you have the Usos together, but they're working with Roman.
Good.
I could see a Samoan Dynasty thing too. I mean, we all kind of wanted a Samoan Dynasty group back before Roman left for his leukemia the first time, or I want to say it was before he left for his leukemia the first time.
Right.
People were wanting that Samoan Dynasty of the three of them, and Tamina and Nia and everybody that's in the Samoan family to have a big
right.
group together, but they just never pulled that trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And they released one of the distant family tonight. Or last night or this weekend. You were saying Samoa Joe. He is part of that family.
Samoa Joe is a Samoan, yes, but he is not part of the family.
I thought he was a distant cousin.
No, as far as I'm aware, Samoa Joe is not related to the Inouye family.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well. I'm not sure either. I just thought he might have been.
What do you think? Have you heard about those releases, Kayvon?
I have. And right now, I can't even say I'm mad, but it's something else. Because Samoa Joe, he's a good wrestler. And I think, now, you can see things coming to pass. Like, I've seen... one of the iconics, I believe, is Billie Kay. I've seen her come and go. You know, she's trying, but I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to release her. But Samoa Joe was one of the people I did not expect them to release. Because, like I said, he's good in the ring. He's good with promos galore, and he's great on commentary. So I don't know why they released him, but I was like, wow. I was in shock when they released Samoa Joe.
Most of the wrestling world was. That one came out of the blue.
Yeah.
So do you got anything else that you want to talk about, Kayvon?
Well, of course, since we already got, you know, since we talked about the big elephant in the room with Roman, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, that match on night one, that main event, blew people away. So now my next thing is, what's next for Bianca Belair? She's the SmackDown Women's Champion. And, I mean, the girl is phenomenal. If she says she's going to do something, she will work her hardest to get it. And on WrestleMania, she says she's going to become the best. She is the best, and she is now the SmackDown Women's Champion. So what's next for Bianca Belair?
I honestly believe it's going to be Bayley, because Bayley sat on the sidelines through the Sasha rivalry, and she made her presence known on SmackDown this week. And because there's a little bit of history between Bianca and Bayley, I think Bayley's going to be the first challenger. I don't think Bianca's going to lose it. I think Bianca retains, and it makes her look that much bigger and better by defeating Bayley as well. But after that, I don't know. I really don't. Because there's Al and I will go on all day about talent who deserves a push, but there's nobody on the roster hardly at the moment that's in a position to be pushed.
Okay. Now, of course, I have an idea. But go ahead, because I just have an idea that's running in my head.
Go ahead.
A superstar.
Go ahead.
Okay, so if we're talking about this, a individual besides Bayley, I'm thinking Shayna Baszler.
That's a definite possibility.
Yes. And yes, although she is a women's tag team with Nia Jax,
I don't think that's going to last much longer. I think they're going to split them up, and I think that's a great idea with Shayna Baszler, because there's a story there for them to capitalize on, because Bianca faced Shayna Baszler for the NXT women's title on two occasions and failed to get the title from Shayna Baszler. So Shayna Baszler's approach to that would be, you know, your time is definitely your time is up, because now that I'm coming after this title, you know you can't beat me in championship scenarios, so you might as well kiss that thing goodbye. And then Bianca comes out with a victory on that as well. That's a good story. I like that one.
I have another surprise, maybe. Because of the way she's being utilized in NXT, what about Ember Moon making a comeback?
Ooh.
I don't know.
That's a good
one. I don't know about that one. I think Ember's staying in NXT.
I think it's sort of a dumb gimmick that she has, but because I think she's a better
wrestler. Oh, I know. I used to love what do they call her? The War Goddess, I think, was her nickname. I loved her freaking persona the first time around.
That would be my surprise if there's no other competition for Bianca that rises to it. But then again, that's another one that comes from NXT straight up to a title shot. You know.
Well, that I don't exactly agree with all the time either. But
me neither.
You know, the longer that NXT is a thing, the more you're going to see the main rosters are going to eventually be majority former NXT people.
Sure.
I mean, Charlotte was NXT, Asuka was NXT, Rhea was NXT, Sasha, Bayley, Bianca, all of the top women's divisions, Shayna, Nia, all came from NXT.
Sure.
Hell, technically, even Roman and Seth came from NXT before the network was launched.
All right.
Yep.
All right. So we only got about 5 minutes left here, gentlemen. You don't have to get off the phone here, Kayvon, but I got to get some business out of the way here. Just in case anybody was wondering, the bucket is real. The bucket is real. All the names of all the pay-per-views that have ever existed between WWE, WCW, ECW, yada, 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 all in the bucket. That's why I was pissed off when the network went away, because it was like, I get all this crap for nothing. However, drawing are what hopefully is on the network. We'll find out in, we're going relatively new. Actually, right around the time the network came on the air, we're going to check and see, and it should be there. TLC from 2014.
All righty. Should be interesting if it's on there, but like you said, it should be. I think I said this last week, but all of them should be available by August, but edited.
Yeah, edited. Believe me, that's another reason why we're going to keep doing this, because I want to see how badly they edit this crap.
Yep. Same.
Are we going to notice? Are we gonna, like, don't get me wrong, you know, the WrestleMania spot with Piper that got edited out?
Yeah.
Everybody will notice that, because it was a little controversial even when he did it. You know, so
sure.
In a weird sort of way, I understand why they edited it, but I don't like censorship and editing. You want to censor now? You want to edit now? Fine. But the past, that was the past. Nobody's going to look at that Roddy Piper bit and say, well, this thing in 1988 or 89 or whatever year it was affects me in 2021.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different era. It was a different time. It was a different way for humanity as a whole that we're thinking, the way that people thought.
Right. And it was a gimmick.
But?
Because out of the ring, I heard they got along great. So.
Sure they did. I'm sure Bad News probably never had a problem with that spot. It was just the uptight people that had issue with it coming off as racist that had a problem with it. That's why I hate when people pick on professional wrestling, because they don't understand and they don't care to understand that anything that takes place inside that ring is approved by the other person in the scenario as well as the promoter. As long as it's okay with the person who's getting picked on, what's your problem?
Let's do it.
All right. We're down to the last minute here, or 2 minutes here, so we're going to wrap this up here, gentlemen. Kayvon, thanks for joining us. We've been missing phone callers, and you just made our episode.
Absolutely. Keep calling back, Kayvon.
Oh, yes, sir. And I will. This is only my return.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Cool.
Nice
love having
sir.
People to bounce off things. I forgot to say it at the top of the show, but I'll say it at the end of the show. Next week, give us a call, 646-668-8672. Give your opinion on everything professional wrestling. Doesn't matter what company, what, you know, indies, major, doesn't matter. Watch with us. I'm going to do my best to bring the video on that as well, but watch with us as we watch TLC from 2014, part one, most likely. And hopefully everything goes well. I'm hoping I can get my webcam so it runs smoother on my desktop, but this is what we're working with for now. And got any last words, sir, partner?
Nope. Just everybody have a good week.
All righty.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, I thought we were going to avoid that. Yes, it's my birthday.
Nope.
Thank you very much.
Couldn't avoid it.
All righty, everybody. You guys have a great night. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
My Two Cents on Wrestling, the only place to relive the best and the worst of professional wrestling of all time.
You already hung up, Al.